Greetings, this is Pastor Stan Harvey of the Pentecostals of Sydney. Thank you for joining us on our podcast. It is our hope that this message, whether it be a Sunday service or a midweek lesson, would be a blessing and a help to you in your spiritual journey. Stay connected with us on our website, posydney.com, or on our numerous social media platforms. Now to the service.
Well, the Lord's going to do a work in the house today, and I will let you know when to put the title up, if that's okay. But I want us to grab our Bibles today, and I want us to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 6. Book of Acts, chapter 3, start at verse 6. What's going to change what happens in this service today is going to be dependent upon you and what you do here in the next few moments. And I believe the Lord is going to touch down in this service, that the power of the Lord is going to move in this house in a tremendous way. But the question is, are you ready for it? The book of Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 6, and it says this. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Why don't we lay our Bibles down here, lift up our hands one more time, and ask the Lord to have his hand on this service. Lord, I give you praise. And everybody said amen. And you may be seated in the house. God can heal you. God can save your soul. And God can turn your life around. We starting to get it now, church. Let me explain to you where we currently are, church. As the body of Christ, we are growing in numbers like we have never seen before. The Spirit of the Lord is moving in every continent, in every country, in every nationality. In every place that you go, the Lord is moving. And I'm thankful to be a part of that. Incredible things are happening in our church back at home. We've seen people get their lives turned around. We've seen God deliver people from drug addictions. We've seen God deliver people from anxiety. We have seen God deliver people from depression. We have seen tremendous things happen in our city. Those that were addicted to alcohol, God has picked them up and delivered them. I told you I'm not going to preach a long time, so you might as well come with me where we're going. I want to tell you today that I've been watching people as God has turned their lives around and God has begun to pick them up and change everything about them. I am watching as people are drawn into the house of God because they are in search for something different. I've watched as people decide to walk into a church on a Sunday morning and say, "I've got to change my surroundings because I need something a little bit different in my life. I've got to preach here today." Ah, yeah. When you come into this house and you come into this church, realize that there is a God that loves you. There is a God that died God for your sins. There is a God that wants to heal you. There is a God that wants to deliver you. And that God is standing in the building today. That God is standing in the building right now. We've got to understand that every time we come into the house of God, we've got an opportunity to feel what the Spirit of the Lord is going to have for us. We've got an opportunity to have an encounter with Jesus Christ Himself. We've got a chance, church. I just wish I had somebody in here today. Oh, yeah. We've got a chance to see the miraculous. We've got a chance to see the power of God. We've got a chance for God to heal. We've got a chance for God to deliver. We've got a chance, church, to feel the glory of God in every service. We've got a chance, church, to feel the power of God in every service. I've seen it. I've seen it in cities all around the United States where they may start out just as a small work or they may be a big work, and all of a sudden something changes in the mind of the congregation and the people in the church start to realize that my God really is real and He really can do what the Word says He can do. I've got news for you, church. All it's going to take is one person getting healed before your eyes to all it's going to take is one person, God healing, God fixing a broken leg, God doing something tremendous for them. All it's going to take is one person, and people will come from everywhere trying to figure out, how did somebody get healed in a Sunday morning service? How did somebody get delivered in a Sunday? I might as well have testimony time right here. We have this lady in our church. She was known as one of the biggest drug dealers in our little small town they call Silsby Smoke Town. That's for a reason. And so they call Silsby Smoke Town. She was one of the biggest drug dealers in our town. She was a rough woman. She was a rough customer. But I can remember as she walked in with track marks all on her arms. I can remember as she walked in still getting over the last high that she had had. I still remember when she walked into the church for the first time and she felt something that she had never felt before. This woman that everybody thought was a lost cause, this woman that was in and out of jail all the time, this woman that had been selling drugs to a person that got delivered across the church from her, began to walk up to the front of the church with her hands raised. And she said, Jesus, I give you everything. Everything that I was, I'm not that person anymore. Everything that I'm going to be is in your hands now, God. And I watched her as she lifted up her hands and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. She began to speak with new tongues. She began to have her life changed. Oh, what a powerful day it was for her. But church, I've got to tell you where I'm going today. I've got to explain to you today where exactly and why exactly I'm preaching this message. You see, we heard about a lame man in the book of Acts chapter 3. We heard about a lame man who could not walk, and he was sitting at the beautiful gate of the temple. And as he is sitting there, he has his cup, he's panhandling, and he is asking people for money. And he says, is there anybody with alms here? Ah, he's asking everybody that walks past him, alms for the poor. Does anybody have anything here that maybe I can take, that maybe I can use? But it did not surprise me that this man had an ailment in his body. It did not surprise me that this man had an issue, because there are many people in this world with issues. Can I get an amen? And so what happens is the man is sitting there and he's asking everybody that is walking past him. I want to preach a very, very simple concept to this church today, because before the miracle ever happened, before he ever rose up and walked, before Peter ever got there, before all of these things ever happened in his life, there was something about this man that was different. It was not just his ability that or his inability to walk. It was not just the problem of him sitting there at the beautiful gate. No, that wasn't it. Can you put up Acts 3 and 5 for me? I want you to see something with me here today. Because as he's sitting there and as he's looking at everybody that's walking past, there was something in this man that was a little bit different. Now, I want to show this to you. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, this is a simple principle. You're just going to have to go with me today. Because before the miracle ever happened, before he ever got blessed, before there was ever a silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, there was a man that was expecting. There was a man that, there was a man that was expecting to receive something. In other words, I don't know what you have. I don't know who you are. I don't care where you're from, but you might just have something that I need. And this man said, I'm sitting here at this gate, not because I can't get anything, but I'm sitting here because I'm expecting to receive something. Allow me the next few moments to tell this church and to put something into the minds of this congregation and preach to you under this title, Your Expectancy Determines Your Experience. Here's the reality, church. If you want church as normal, if you want church as normal, you can have it as much as you want. But if you want to see God do powerful things in this church, if you want to see God do powerful things in your life, we've got to get out of this thing where we keep saying, well, God, I think you can do it. God, I wonder if you can do it. No, we've got to get into the realm of expectancy and say, God, I don't just think you can do it, but I expect for you to do it. Every time I come to church, God, I'm expecting for you to move. God, I'm expecting for you to pour out. I just wish I had a few people. God, I'm expecting to have my life turned around. God, I'm expecting for you to change my life. God, I'm expecting for you to deliver me. I just need somebody to throw your hands up right here in the building and say, God, I came expecting today. Whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, I expect a move. Well, I can see some aren't convinced, so let's preach a little while. Matthew 14 and 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves. And 2 fishes. How many of you have ever heard about the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes? Anybody? What happens is, he says, bring them hither unto me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down in the grass. And he took 5 loaves and he took 2 fishes. And he looked up into the heavens and he blessed and he broke it. And he gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. I'm going to pause right here and just explain what I read. There's an entire group of people that are following Jesus, right? And there's only a little bit of food. And I don't know how many thousand people were out there, but 5 loaves and 2 fish, I probably could put that down by myself without anybody's help, amen? And so what happens is the disciples are saying, Jesus, send them away, send them to the town, and let them go buy their own food. Let them go get their own stuff. Let them go do their own thing. Because where we're at, there's nothing else. How are we going to eat if they get fed? And so Jesus takes what was a little bit, and he makes it a lot. He looks up into the heavens, and he blesses it, and he breaks it. And I just want to pause here for every person that serves in this church, every disciple that is here in this church. Let me explain to you what Jesus does. Jesus takes the loaves, and he takes the fishes, and he breaks it. And Jesus doesn't distribute the loaves and the fishes to the multitude. Jesus puts it into the hands of the disciples. And the disciples, oh, some of y'all didn't catch that. In other words, when God wanted to do a miracle, God didn't walk out and do it himself that day. You know what God did? God sent his followers to do the miracles. And he said, when I do this miracle today, the miracle's gonna come through your hands. Yeah, you'll believe it here in a little bit. The miracle's gonna come through your hands. When I do this miracle to the multitude, when I do this miracle for the thousands, the miracle will come through your fingertips. The miracle will be delivered by your feet. The miracle will come through you. That was free. And the Bible says that they all ate and that they were filled, and they took fragments that remained 12 baskets full. In other words, the little thing that they started with, God distributed it to everybody, and they still had 12 baskets left. But my question for you today is, why was the multitude there in the first place? The Bible says that the multitude was in a desert place. They were in a dry place. And the Bible says that they were out there, they were following Jesus. But the question is, why? Why would you follow Jesus into the desert? A man that many of them have never met before. A man that probably many of them have never actually seen up close before. Why? Why did they follow him into the desert? I've got news for you today, church. The reason they followed him into the desert is because they were expecting to receive something. Because they said, I heard this man has done miracles before, and I need a miracle now. So I'll follow him wherever he goes. I'll go wherever he says to go. Wherever the disciples and him are going, that's where we're going to be. Because they were expecting something. They were expecting for God to move in a way they had never seen before. Many of them probably left jobs. Many of them were probably hungry. Many of them probably did not have much, but the Lord saw fit to bless each and every one of them because they expected it. The experience that happened for them that day was because they expected it. I won't be preaching too much longer here. I want to tell you about a man named Zacchaeus in Luke 19, starting at verse 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. Somebody say he had money. He was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. Now, as you can clearly see by my physique today, I have never had the issue of being little in stature. Maybe when I was a baby, but that's about it. And so the Bible says that he ran before and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He was standing behind a whole bunch of people. He could not see around. You ever feel like that? Like you're trying to get somewhere and you can't get to where you're getting to because there's people in the way all the time? You know what I mean? That's kind of a tough thing. Like if I'm going to order food somewhere and people are just standing around in my way and they're in between me and my food, this becomes a thing I have to pray about now. And so what happens is he decides, much like we do, well, I'm just going to find another way. I'm going to figure out a way that I can get to where I'm trying to get to, or at least see what I'm trying to see. And let me just roll back here really quick. He could not see because of the people that were around him. Sometimes you've got to get from around the people that you're currently around so you can see Jesus. Now, I know some of us don't want to hear that because we got friends that we're close to right now. But those friends may be in your way. I'm talking to you about something real because I had to do the same thing. Sometime you've got to separate yourself. God, help me in the Holy Ghost. You've got to separate yourself from toxic people and from toxic relationships and from people that are always pulling you down. Oh, Lord, help me now. I feel like I hit something in the spirit, so we're going to go for it right now. You've got people standing in front of you. You've got people standing around you that are stopping you from seeing Jesus in your life. But it's time for you to get from around those people, make your way around them, and find a way to see Jesus. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop coming to prayer meeting. Don't stop showing up to Bible study. Just keep doing what you have to do to see Jesus. Sometime you're going to have to tell those people, I love you. I'll never stop loving you, but I can't be around you because the things that you entertain. I can't be around you because the mistakes I make when I'm around you. I wish I could tell you I didn't know what I was talking about this morning, but I know it all too well, and I see it time and time again. I'll get back to my message here in a second, but the Holy Ghost is drawing me to preach to somebody right here on this in this house this morning. You've got to get yourself out from that situation. You've got to get yourself out from those people and say, God, wherever I have to go to follow you is where I'll go. Whoever I have to say no to, God, it's what I'll do. I just need somebody to hear me in the Holy Ghost today. God is calling you out from where you are. God is pulling you out from where you are. So Zacchaeus does, he does something crazy because the Bible says that he is small of stature. So Zacchaeus gets from around the crowd of people. He separates himself and he finds himself a sycamore tree, and he begins to climb up on that sycamore tree because he realized that there is some places that I'll stand at that I won't be able to see Jesus just right. So now, with my nice clothes on, you know, in that day, that the garments that the people wore, the clothes that they wore, told everybody about what social status they had. And so this man, dressed in his nice clothes, he finds himself a sycamore tree. And he thinks to himself, I've got to do something that I've never done before. This is where we get scared. Because we don't like to do things that we've never done before. Because what will that make me look like to everybody? What will that make me look like to everybody else? If I take this step, if I take this leap of faith, what will that make everybody look at me like? If I decide to do something that's outside of the norm, because mind you, he was a chief among the publicans. That means there were a lot of people around him that knew who he was. And this very same man that held a high position, this very same man that had all this money and he was rich, decides that something today has to change. So I'm willing to do whatever I have to do to get that change. I know it's simple preaching, and I'm sorry, but the thing standing between you and your miracle today is the norm. It's doing the same things that you always do. It's walking into a service and thinking you're going to get a different result today than you always get, but you're still doing the same thing. Oh, help us, Jesus. I'll tell you one more thing. And then we'll let the Lord have his way. There's a woman with an issue of blood. And this woman, she had been carrying this issue for years and years and years and years. And she too was struggling. She was struggling so much that she was isolated from society because of her ailments. She wasn't allowed to go to the stores that we all go to and do the things that we all do because her issues were too bad. She was in such a critical condition that they couldn't figure out how to help her. There was no cure. There was nothing that anybody could do. She hears that Jesus is coming to town, and there's a multitude that is surrounding Jesus. And, you know, I think a lot of times we get used to just walking where we want to go. But she was too weak to walk. She had so much going on in her life. She had so many problems at the time that she was too weak to walk where she was going. And so she was actually too weak to push through the crowd. So she makes a decision on that day. She makes a decision to do something that nobody probably thought she would do because, again, she was an outcast. She wasn't even allowed to be around all of the other people. So you know what she does? Yeah, in my suit. I don't care. Because there's something about desperation that will make you do things that other people think is weird, that other people don't understand. There's something about desperation that will cause you to crawl, that will cause you to try to get to everywhere. Oh, yeah. I wish I had somebody in the house this morning that'll preach with me. You may not understand why I do this, but sometimes you've got to get to the place where you crawl to your miracle. And that's the only way that you can get there. That woman decided in her mind that day, I might have had this issue for a long time, but I make my decision in this moment. And if I have to crawl to my miracle, I'll crawl. If people look at me funny, I don't care. But I've got to do whatever I can to get to Jesus. Music, you can start making your way. It's going to look funny to everybody else. Yeah, I understand. It's going to look funny. There's going to be some tears that are shed. There's going to, oh, Jesus, help us today. You may not understand it. It might embarrass you. It might embarrass you. You may have to just say, excuse me, but I've got to do whatever it is that I've got to do. But I feel like God wants to change some lives in the house this morning. And God, oh yeah, God wants to change some lives this morning. God wants to fill you with his spirit this morning. The Bible says in the book of Acts, they were all waiting. They were waiting on a promise, expectancy. They're waiting on a promise. and the Spirit of the Lord falls in the room, cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And when they were all filled with the Spirit of the Lord, they began to speak with other tongues. Other people thought they were crazy. They thought they were drunk. But the Bible says these men are not drunk as ye suppose, because this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I want to tell you here today, God wants to pour out His Spirit in this house. Can I just tell you what I feel? I just tell you what I feel. I feel like God wants to do surgery on somebody's heart today. The surgeon is in the house today. And God wants to go to the deep places of your heart. And God wants to find those places where you've been hurting. God wants to find those places where there's blockage. And God has found you here in this house today. But your expectancy this morning is going to determine what you experience. Your expectancy in this moment is going to determine what you experience in the house. I could make a formal altar call here today, but I won't. But if you're hungry here in the house, I wish you would respond. I wish you would just respond to what the Lord is telling you to do. Some of you, you need to let those tears flow this morning. You need to open up your heart and let God do the work that He's been trying to do in you. It don't have to be formal today, but I wonder if there's any desperate people here in the house. Is there anybody desperate in the building? We'll sing here in just a moment. I just want to know if there's anybody desperate here in the house. Anybody want to do something you've never done before? Oh, I understand the hand clap, but is there anybody that's desperate in the house?
Service, but it's time to respond now.